Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, storms, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When wind bears 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less place to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Amen.
One more, guys.
Go ahead. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the rings that was flown be a sin, the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy last demand. Could my zeal no rest I know, could my tears forever flow, all could never sin erase. Thou art saved and saved by grace. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I claim. Make it come to thee for dress, help us look to thee for grace. Shall I lose the fountain fly? Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this bleeding breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when my soul is lonely known, stay beyond the judgment dawn. Rock of ages, pray for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for singing for us. So if you guys can kneel, we'll go ahead and open up in prayer to our God. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing everyone to gather here in your name. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that goes to speak on your behalf or on behalf of your kingdom. And thank you for all the promises you've given us in Scripture and for all the blessings we've received each day, both seen and unseen blessings. Thank you. We ask that the Holy Spirit guide us in our minds and hearts as we study your word. And we send this prayer up through the help of the Holy Spirit, but in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. We obviously see and recognize that the world is not getting any safer to live in. Constantly, there are news articles and stories that are involving evil people committing evil acts. Scripture says, however, it will continue to only wax worse and worse, because iniquity shall abound and the love of many wax cold. Matthew 24:12. So, what must we do to be safe from the evil in this sinful world? Because people are getting afraid in these times, and they're getting fearful of the things to come. And instead of trusting in God for protection, they're trusting in themselves. And they're buying guns for protection. Even so-called Christians are buying guns for protection. I noticed in the paper that the old church I used to attend is offering concealed and carry classes for their congregation. Now, this is a church telling people to conceal and carry a weapon. It quoted the pastor saying, I quote, "The events over the last few years across the nation have been scary and hopes it will never be necessary to use a gun." End quote. My question to you is this: is it necessary to use a gun? Christ is our example. I shouldn't feel the need to say that, but we should look to Him for this answer. And when surrounded to be killed, what did Christ do? Did He tell the disciples, "Pull out your swords"? No, He said, "Put up again thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Matthew 26:52-53. You see, there was one that was with Christ who drew his sword, but Christ told him, "Put it up." Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, so shall all those that live by the gun die by the gun. Christ went on to say, "You think I can't pray? And my Father give me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion is 2,000. So that's at least 24,000 angels that could have been there in one simple prayer to the Father. But Christ never prayed for them to come and kill the men that persecuted Him. Neither did He condone the disciple that brought out his sword to fight. Christ didn't so much as curse at the people that were persecuting Him. We should do the same. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. We don't need guns for the people that persecute us. We need the love of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 23 say, "For this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously."
shouldn't have to say this, but all Christians should behave as Christ. Christ never concealed a weapon, never threatened, never hurt anyone, but sadly today, most don't act like Christ. Most lash out in violence when they feel wrongfully treated. Today's society finds it acceptable to render evil for evil. No, better yet, they find it even better if you render twice as much evil for evil done unto you. But this is far from the heart of Christ and far from the heart of a real Christian. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, say finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye thereunto are called that ye should inherit a blessing. But no, today it saddens my heart to say so-called Christians find it okay to have guns ready to kill men that persecute them, ready to render evil for evil and railing for railing, because they're scared of what the world may do to them if they were caught in a bad situation without their gun. But brothers and sisters, what's really scary is being in a bad situation, not without your gun, but without your God to protect you. Where is your faith? Is it in a gun on your side? Or can you say, the Lord is on my side? I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Psalms 118, verse 6. So again I ask, where is your faith? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but my faith is not small enough to fit in a holster on the side of my hip. Christ said in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. So I put no confidence in myself, but rather in the God that created me. The God that protected the three Hebrews cast in a fiery furnace. The God that protected Daniel tossed in a den of hungry lions. The God that holds every star in its place and numbers every hair on my head. My faith is my protection. It's my shield. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you have faith, you have protection. Faith is your shield. Now that's not to say that no evil thing will happen to you. For it is written, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. If it's the Lord's will, as it was for some to be martyrs for their faith, so be it. There's great honor in dying for the Savior. Many were brought to Christ by watching the Roman Catholics slaughter innocent, humble Christian families that were only showing meekness and compassion towards those persecuting them. Because they knew that Christ taught there was no reward in just loving those that love you. This is why it's written, love ye your enemies, and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6, chapter 6, verses 35 through 36. You see, we're supposed to have mercy on those that persecute us, for they know not what they do. If you don't have mercy on them, your Father will not have mercy on you. Christ said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. It's a great testimony to die for Christ, but not everyone will. Not everyone will die. We don't always know what the Lord's will should be for us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Just because you see with your own eyes a gun aimed at you does not mean you're going to die. Just because the three Hebrews saw flames surrounding them in the fiery furnace does not mean they were to be burned. Live your life in faith. Don't go off of sight. Don't be afraid of what you see. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And nothing can bring someone a more sound mind than knowing that God is with them. You can have all the ammo and guns you can afford, but someone always has a bigger gun. But no one has a bigger God. That, my friends, is a sound mind. Your shield of faith is stronger than any concrete bunker man can build. We're not even supposed to be afraid of man. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We're not to be fearful of the persecutions taking place all over the world. The men that persecute you can only kill your body. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But there is one that will judge them, that will destroy both their body and their soul. Have faith in that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 say, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Sadly today, people are afraid of their terror. They are troubled by what's to come. Christ, when talking about the end of the world, said men's hearts would fail them because of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. All around us today, people are building bunkers, buying all the ammo and guns they can afford. Because today, little if any, have faith in God for protection. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you want faith in God and not in guns, read your Bible. You have to read it. It doesn't give you more faith if I read it. Read about what having faith in God can do. Women who were barren gave birth. Men thrown into prison escaped free. Men and women received their loved ones raised from the dead. The mouths of hungry lions were sealed shut. And just take the time to read something in your Bible each day, and your faith will grow stronger and stronger. Read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a law passed in their time enforcing worship, and if any should not worship, should be killed. We can read this in Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. "Whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." These men did not worship anyone or anything but God, and because of that, they were persecuted. They were cast alive in the midst of a fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter just for them. Yet, Scripture says they lived, not because they drew swords and slaughtered everyone, but because of their faith in God, in obedience to God. That's what protected them. We can see there's going to be another law passed, brothers and sisters, enforcing worship. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. "He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." When the mark of the beast is enforced, or enforces worship, shall we not have the same faith as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't save themselves. God saved them. Now, Hollywood would want you to think they saved themselves. They would have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego jump out of the flames with vengeance. They'd have those three men kill all of Babylon in the name of revenge, because that's our society. They love violence. They love war. And ultimately, they love death. They are fueled with a sense of pride and self-confidence when watching Hollywood movies and playing violent video games. The type of self-confidence where you don't need God. The Scripture tells us it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a man. Psalms 118, verse 8. However, people believe they're righteous because when someone did something against them, they repaid them revenge. That's where society finds righteousness. But I say unto you, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Vengeance is the Lord's. We are commanded not to steal, so don't take vengeance from the Lord. I put faith in Him. He is the judge, not me. He will punish the wicked, not me. Brothers and sisters, think about this. If an evil man comes to your home ready to kill you, who are you to kill him? Do you realize if you were to kill that man, you would seal his fate? He will have no chance to repent of the sin that he was trying to commit against you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after the judgment. Instead of showing meekness unto the man, instead of being merciful to him because your Father was merciful towards you, instead of reflecting the love of Christ, planting seeds of truth, you planted a bullet, forever sealing his fate. The man will never have a chance to repent, never again have a chance to be saved. And what if that evil man trying to kill you was Paul? The Apostle Paul, who, may I remind you, killed Christians. And had a Christian killed Paul at the first opportunity he had, would Paul have a chance to repent? Would Paul have a chance to bring more souls to Christ later in his future? Would Paul have a chance to write book after book for God in the Bible? Would Paul make it to heaven or hell because of you? All because you decided to put faith in yourself, trusting that you could judge righteously. If God killed you at the second you sinned against Him, you wouldn't have had chance after chance to repent like you do now. The Lord is patient towards you. Have patience on others. Like Paul, they could come to Christ later in their life and do wonderful works for God. They might make it to heaven, but one thing is certain, as Isaiah said, they that go down into the grave have no hope to hear the truth. That's it for them. Brothers and sisters, God has been merciful to you, letting you live when you sinned against Him, so let others live who have sinned against you. At the end, God will be the judge of what's wrong and what's right. God will have revenge, not you. Psalms 44, verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Your sword will not keep you safe. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Don't put trust in guns, because it will not save you. Christ is our Savior, not guns. You cannot save yourself. Luke 17:33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. The same message is repeated in the Bible. Luke 9:24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Throughout the scriptures this is written. You can find it again in Matthew 16:25, again in Mark 8:35, that if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ, you will save it. But most Christians skip over this verse, especially those Christians who, instead of bending their life around Scripture, bend Scripture around their life. They want to say, "Christ said, sell what you have and buy guns." They misquote verse after verse because they don't want to change their lifestyle because of Scripture. They want to change Scripture because of their lifestyle. They want to say that you can have guns for protection. They want to say Scripture supports this because their lack of faith will not protect them. Them choosing to save their own life will lose their life. They use this verse out of context, Luke 22:36. "Then said he unto them," Christ speaking, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." People use this verse to say Christ said sell and buy swords. In other words, we should sell and buy guns for protection. But truth is far from this. Just read two verses later. Only two. "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough." Now, if you believe, or do you believe, that 12 grown men in the middle of a combat are going to pass these two swords around back and forth? Or maybe we should look into the verse more clearly. What is this sword that Christ said to buy? The word translated, and I might say it wrong, but makaria, or makaira, which if defined means a large knife used for killing animals and cutting up flesh. It's a large knife for preparing food. The verse before the one they took out of context says in Luke 22:35, "He said unto them, when I sent you without a purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said nothing." You see, brothers and sisters, when reading the chapter in context, Christ is saying, "When I was with you, you needed nothing. Now that I'm about to leave, you need to start getting ready. Get a knife for preparing your own food. Bring your purse and your scrip and your shoes with you now." Truth is, Christ would never tell you that you need to buy a gun or buy a sword and then turn around and say, "Put it up, don't use it. They that live by the sword will die by the sword." Yet people will use any excuse possible to comfort their lack of trust in God. Psalms 20:7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." We will remember our Lord, brothers and sisters. We will trust in Him. Not in ourselves or in our guns. What are you going to do when it's time to flee? Luke 17:31, "In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in his house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." You can't return to your house and grab your faith that you've stored in a gun safe in the back of your closet. When it's time to go, it's time to go. You can't go back home. But you see, I always have protection with me because my faith is with me wherever I go. I have faith because I read my Bible. I know the Lord's promises. I know my food and water shall be sure. I know no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But if I chose not to read my Bible, I wouldn't have any idea of the promises the Lord has made for me. Faith is not prejudice. It doesn't make you sign a waiver and wait 2 weeks to get permission to have it. It doesn't care if you've committed crimes in your past. You can still have it. It doesn't matter your race or your size. It's free to all. Best of all, the government can't take that away from you. It's free to everyone, so long as you believe. And that's where we need to have. We need to have faith. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is where our faith shall be. Thus saith the Lord, He will be with you, He will strengthen you, He will help you. Listen to His words. Thus saith the Lord, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Have I not commanded thee to be strong and of good courage, and to be not afraid? Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I hope and pray you listen to the words and promises the Lord has given you. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by this message.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me, thou my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art mine. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or I be made. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teaching thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thy own being, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen.
Okay, I guess I'll pray. I guess Chase didn't get my PM. All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day, and thank you for not letting the enemy of souls be successful. He tried his best to stop this sermon, and he failed miserably. Thank you so much, Father. And thank you for blessing us with a way to allow to come through without any lag, just by having everyone not use the text chat. And thank you for that as well. Please bless everyone that's heard this message, especially those that are, you know, questioning whether or not they should have guns. And thank you for blessing everyone that hears it in the future as it goes online. And thank you once again for blessing the Sabbath in a very special way, and blessing everyone on our prayer list. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen and amen. Oh, he did. Okay. I just got word Chase was praying, but the mic wasn't working, so. Yeah, and I got that, Eli. I didn't know you guys were going to do the live singing thing, so praise the Lord. Amen and amen.